There is one announcement this morning, a word of welcome on behalf of myself, our soon-to-be Vice Director, Father Rainier, and the whole staff of the Oratory to all new parishioners and all visitors here at the Oratory of Saints Gregory and Augustine. Please know that you are most welcome here with us. If you are a new parishioner or a visitor and would like to speak with an Oratory staff member, please look for the welcome station, which is under the tent, located between the rectory and the church, off of the parking lot between the church and the school. If you exit the church by the way of the door near St. Joseph's altar and turn left, you will see the welcome station there. There will be someone from the staff to greet you immediately after Holy Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Both our Gospel from St. Luke and the words of St. Paul in his exhortation to the Romans give us an opportunity, brothers and sisters, to call to mind the things that swirl around us and the temptations that beset us, but also the manner then in which we are called to live our lives. That temptations are real is a true statement. That oftentimes Satan does prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls is likewise a true statement. That because of the stain of original sin, we are more susceptible to the temptations that surround us is also a true statement. But the world in which we live, unfortunately rooted as it is in a Protestant understanding of theology, believes that's all that can be said about the human person, is that we suffer temptations, that we succumb to temptations, and we simply throw ourselves upon the grace of God with really no recourse in overcoming temptations and no real understanding that grace poured out upon grace gives us the strength we need to resist. The simple fact is this, brothers and sisters, we can live as God asks us to live if we put our minds and our hearts into better cooperating with the grace that God gives us. Why would God bestow grace upon us, give us grace in this very Eucharistic sacrifice, if that grace, when accessed, when cooperated with, was not strong enough to combat the sins and the temptations with which we are oftentimes beset? It would be cruel for God to do that to us, to dangle, if you will, a carrot of salvation before us, knowing that we would never actually be able to achieve it. Let me even go a step further and say that it is within God's power to work through us, to bestow grace upon us, such that that kingdom that God desires to be built here on earth can indeed be realized. Now, we know of our own personal sin. We certainly know of the sins of the world in which we live. And it would seem to suggest that it's an impossibility, truly, for God's kingdom to be realized in this life, only in the life to come. But again, the question must be asked, and the answer has already been given, why then does God bestow grace? If grace is not powerful enough for us to overcome temptation, to put aside sin, and to live rightly in the sight of the Lord. Again, God would not do this to us. He is not a cruel God. He is a loving and compassionate God who has gone out of his way to provide us with everything that we need in order to live in right relationship with him. If there is failure, and sadly, there is failure, if sin seems to abound and temptation seems to beset us more often than not, that is not because God has not given us sufficient grace. It is because we have not cooperated with it. St. Paul, pardon me, reminds the Corinthians, that the reality is this. We do not have to be fornicators or idolaters. We don't have to give ourselves over to the world. But that does mean, brothers and sisters, you must make sacrifices in how you live in the world. The world admits to no compromise. The world does not want what it is that you have. It doesn't want to hear how you're living your life. It doesn't want to see you. Your mere presence is a reminder that there is a different way, a better way, the right way to live in the world. And as long as the just man exists, Scripture tells us he is a rebuke to the unjust. And so stop trying to somehow make peace with the world when the world does not want to make peace with you. Does this mean you have to be in a constant state of battle and war? It might indeed mean that. It certainly does require a vigilance, On guard each and every moment of every day to protect yourself from the things that might swirl around you. But if this sounds like an arduous, overwhelming task, it's because you are approaching it as something that you have to do by yourself, something that you have to do on your own, through your own strength and your own native talent. God does not intend that. He never intended that. He has given you the graces that you need in order to indeed wage war, if that is what must happen. Certainly to surround yourself with all those good and holy things that will protect you and keep you safe from the temptations of the world. The Lord reminds us at the conclusion of the Holy Gospel that this place, this beautiful place of prayer that will soon be ours, is a place dedicated to finding God. The things of the world do not find their way into these walls. This place is only and always dedicated to the things of God because we can find Him here because He chooses to be here. And so we must likewise come and be with Him, enter into His temple to find there the strength we need to resist the temptations. Paul tells the Corinthians at the end of his exhortation, God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength. And so never give up. Never grow tired of doing good. Yes, it is a difficult prospect to each and every single day commit yourself to living a holy and blameless life. But it can be done. The holy men and women who've gone before us, not only in their striving, but in their success in cooperating with the grace of God, are models for each of us how we are to live our lives. We each have our own favorite saints who speak to us by the manner in which they live their lives. Follow after them, cling to them, pray to them, and ask for their intercession and interaction and mediation in your own lives. Have recourse to our Blessed Mother, who is always there to take us under her mantle and give us the protection and strength we need, and again, in order to live rightly as we should. But with temptation, we'll also give you a way out that you may be able to bear it. Temptation can also teach us. It can admonish us. It can strengthen us if we truly allow it to be what God wants it to be, and that is a means of purification. But we have to resist. And we can never give in, whatever those temptations may be. And oftentimes we think of them as writ large, temptations against purity, temptations against the violence that may come to us or the anger that we might feel in our hearts. But there also are the very small temptations with which we must contend on a daily basis. A lack of charity, a lack of patience, a lack of forbearance with the very ones with whom we live and those that we love. If we cannot be at peace with the very people in our homes, how difficult will it be for us to be at peace with the world? And if we as a family cannot be at peace with one another here at the Oratory, how difficult will it be for us then to be leavened for the salvation and the transformation of Holy Mother Church and the world itself? This is, after all, what God calls us to. Not only to cooperate with grace for our own salvation, but to make recompense in order and make recompense for the sins of others, to build up the body of Christ, even as those may give themselves over to the very temptations of the world. As we go forth, brothers and sisters, into a new chapter of our lives here at the Oratory, there are things that are still unknown, but the things that are known far outweigh that which still remains before us. We know that we are here. We know of God's love for us. We know of our fidelity to the things that God has asked us to do, and we know the fruit that comes from that faithfulness. Whatever struggles that may be before us, whatever temptations may assail us, we know that we can rise above them from the very graces we're receiving in this Eucharistic sacrifice. These are not pious platitudes said to make us feel better. These are the truths of our faith, and they must govern our very lives. Here at Mass, yes, but in every moment of your life, even when you are not here, maybe especially when you are not here, to be convicted of who you are and whose you are, and then to go forth and to live that in the world. This is not an impossibility. It has never been an impossibility. God has always intended us to succeed, and He has given us the very graces in order to enjoy success with him. Draw near to him. Hold fast to him. Have faith in him. Use the graces he bestows upon you. Resist the temptations in the world and enjoy the peace that comes only from the heart of our Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.